Hello there, I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey y'all, Eves here. Today's episode contains not just one, but two nuggets of history. Consider it a double feature. Enjoy the show. Greetings, everyone. Welcome to This Day in History class, where we learn a smidgen of history every day. The day was May 27, 1905. The Battle of Tsushima, a major naval battle during the Russo-Japanese War of 1904 to 1905, began. By the end of battle the next day, the Japanese had defeated the Russian Navy. Russia and Japan had been fighting for control in Korea and Manchuria. When Russia reneged on an agreement to pull its troops from Manchuria, Japan decided to attack. So, the Russo-Japanese War began in 1904 when Japan attacked Russian warships at Port Arthur on the Liaodong Peninsula in southern Manchuria. The last major battle of the land war was fought in February and March of 1905 in what was then Mukden, Manchuria. In the Battle of Mukden, Russian forces retreated to northern Manchuria and the Japanese occupied all of southern Manchuria. But the Battle of Tsushima was the fight that secured Japanese dominance in the conflict. The Russian Baltic Fleet, commanded by Admiral Zinovy Rozhestvensky, had sailed from Liepāja in October 1904. In early May, the fleet reached the China Sea and was headed for Vladivostok, a port city near Russia's borders with China and Korea, via the Tsushima Strait. But Admiral Togo Heihachiro, the commander of the Japanese combined fleet, was preparing his fleet for battle on the Korean coast near Busan. Togo's fleet consisted of four battleships, 27 cruisers, and many destroyers and torpedo boats. While Togo's fleet was thoroughly trained and used high explosive shells, the Russians used armor-piercing rounds and had a fleet that was largely old and not in the greatest shape. The crews also were not as experienced. As the Russians tried to go through the strait, at around 4:55 a.m. on May 27, 1905, the picket cruiser Shinano Maru sent a wireless message to Togo regarding the fleet's position. Intercepted wireless signals informed the Russians that they had been discovered and that Japanese scouting cruisers were shadowing them. The wireless reports that Japanese scouting vessels sent gave the Japanese an advantage in the foggy conditions. Around 1:40 p.m., the Japanese spotted the Russians. As the battle ensued, command on the Russian side went to Rear Admiral Nikolai Nebogatov. The next morning, as Togo proceeded to inflict damage on the Russian fleet, Nebogatov signaled a surrender at 10:34 in the morning. The Japanese continued to sink Russian ships. Through the speed of his fleet and competence of his crews, Togo was able to defeat the Russians. The battle was the only decisive fleet action fought by steel battleships. The Russian fleet was basically destroyed, with 21 ships sunk, several captured and interned in neutral ports, and three ships escaped to Vladivostok. On the Russian side, 4,380 people were killed and 5,917 were captured. On the Japanese side, three torpedo boats were destroyed, 583 people were wounded, and 117 people were killed. Japan grew in prominence as a naval power, while Russia declined as a naval power. The Japanese victory at Tsushima and political unrest in Russia led to a peace treaty signed in September of 1905 that formally ended the Russo-Japanese War. In the Treaty of Portsmouth, which was mediated by U.S. President Theodore Roosevelt, Russia recognized Japan as the dominant power in Korea and gave Port Arthur, the southern portion of Sakhalin Island, and the Lao Tung Peninsula to Japan. In 1905, the Russian Revolution broke out throughout the Russian Empire, incited by the defeat in the Russo-Japanese War and the desire for reform. I'm Eve Jeffcoat, and hopefully you know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. And if you haven't gotten your fill of history after listening to today's episode, you can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at TDIHC Podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope to see you again tomorrow for more tidbits of history.
Hello there, I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, is finally here.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit.
They're looking to get a guy that they believe can change the game.
With NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Are you looking to build this year? If so, there is no better time than right now to start planning and to get your spot on the construction schedule. If you need a garage, a stall barn, a storage for vehicles, RV, boat, collectibles, or even a shop for your farm, hobbies, or car restoration projects, visit MortonBuildings.com and start your construction process. With superior materials, craftsmanship, best-in-class warranty, Morton Buildings are made to last for generations. At Morton, the difference is in the details. From their cutting-edge innovations to their craftsmen in the field, they are dedicated to surpassing expectations. Their legacy of excellence spans more than 120 years, and Morton Buildings is 100% employee-owned with more than 250,000 satisfied customers. That means they're the industry leader you can trust. When you choose Morton, you'll experience quality at every step of the building process, starting before the walls even go up. Visit MortonBuildings.com to get started today.
Hey y'all, I'm Eves, and welcome to This Day in History Class, a podcast for people who can't get enough history. The day was May 27th, 1930. The Chrysler Building in Manhattan, New York was completed. Until the Empire State Building was completed 11 months later, the Chrysler Building was the tallest building in the world. In New York in the 1920s, there was an intense competition to build the tallest skyscraper in the world. Some skyscrapers in the city were designed in the Art Deco style of the period, with bold geometric shapes, dynamic ornamentation, and striking colors. The 1920s were marked by a growing economy and mass consumerism, and that was reflected in the boom in skyscraper construction during the decade. There was the Paramount Building, completed in 1927, and the Fuller Building, designed by Walker and Gillette, was completed in 1929. Located on Broadway in Manhattan, the Woolworth Building is 792 feet tall. When it opened in 1913, it became the tallest building in the world. But in the late 1920s, there were other people vying for that top spot. The Bank of Manhattan Trust Building, now known as 40 Wall Street, was set to become the tallest building in the world. But ultimately, the Chrysler Building would take the title. William H. Reynolds was a real estate developer and a former New York State senator. He had a long-term lease on a property at Lexington Avenue and 42nd Street. He hired architect William Van Allen to build an office tower called the Reynolds Building at the site. It was supposed to rise to 808 feet and be topped with a glass crown. It was also designed to have first-floor showroom windows that were tripled in height, as well as glass-wrapped corners, so that it would look like it was floating. But this design turned out to be too expensive and too advanced for Reynolds. In October of 1928, Reynolds sold the project and lease to Walter Chrysler, an auto industry executive. Chrysler worked with Van Allen on a new design for the building. It would be 925 feet tall and serve as the headquarters of the Chrysler Corporation. That said, the corporation never owned the building, nor did it have anything to do with its construction. Walter Chrysler personally financed the construction of the building so he could pass it on to his children. The building was constructed at an average rate of 4 floors per week. At the same time, H. Craig Severance, Van Allen's former partner, was working on the Bank of Manhattan Trust Building, intending to make it the tallest building in the world. But Van Allen was designing a 185-foot spire, which was delivered to the building in sections and secretly assembled. In November of 1929, the spire was raised into position. Like many other New York skyscrapers, the Chrysler Building was constructed with setbacks, or the ziggurat-like steps leading from the broad base of the building to its tower. The first tenants moved into the Chrysler Building in April of 1930, and on May 27th, formal opening ceremonies were held. The 77-story building is known for its Art Deco design. The corner ornamentation includes gargoyles, Chrysler radiator caps, and eagles. It also has geometric decorations. And at one point, it had an observation deck on the 71st floor. The building got mixed reviews, with some people praising its modernism and others criticizing it as unoriginal and meaningless. Less than a year after it was built, the Empire State Building surpassed the Chrysler Building as the tallest in the world, but it is still the world's tallest steel-supported brick building. In 1976, the building was declared a National Historic Landmark. I'm Eve Jeffcoat, and hopefully you know a little more about history today than you did yesterday. And if you have any comments or suggestions, you can send them to us via email at thisday@iheartmedia.com. You can also hit us up on social media. We're at TDIHC Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks so much for listening to the show, and we'll see you tomorrow.
For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor-at-large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news, with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts, as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.
you don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, is finally here.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit.
They're looking to get a guy that they believe can change the game.
With NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Microsoft Surface, powering a better game.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves, so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.